fellow church family. Who can tell me two ways that someone can tell a church is thriving? Two ways. It's maybe some of you have guessed this. It's big membership turnout to secondary worship services or opportunities like the midweek prayers or Vespers. And the second way to tell if a church is thriving, if there are young people who are involved in your church services. So here at Amorna, we're especially blessed. Praise the Lord for young people and families that, you know, have reared their children to love the Lord and not to shy away from being involved in church. Our two speakers this morning are young people who also do not shy away from opportunities. Our first speaker, Charisse LaPuebla, we all know and love. She was born and raised in our church, and you've seen her serve in many different ways. She's played an active role as our chorister. She greets people. She's provided special music, and she also provides free childcare services from time to time. She's attended our Amorna Union Academy since kindergarten, and this year she's a junior, and she plans on pursuing optometry after high school. That's our Charisse LaPuebla. Our second speaker, some of you might not recognize, he's a new friend. We've invited him from his home church, is the Asian American Seventh-day Adventist Church, correct? And his name is Renard Ezra Villanueva, and let me get this right, was born in Ordoneta City in Pangasinan, Philippines. Sorry if I've slaughtered that. I'm so sorry. Despite being born in the Philippines, he grew up in Bakersfield. They moved there when he was 4. Like I said, he's attended the Asian American Seventh-day Adventist Church, and he's been an active participant there. He's performed special music and he's also presented messages at his respective church. He's with the AV audiovisual team, and recently he graduated from Bakersfield Adventist Academy with a graduating class of 2019, and he will be attending Pacific Union College this fall to get his bachelor's in social work. So let's give them our attention and pray for them as the Holy Spirit anoints their lips. So we'll have Charisse LaPuebla present.
Hello, good morning, and happy Sabbath. This youth Sabbath has been such a blessing, amen? The future of our church seems so bright, but is it actually stable? A study showed that 59% of youth leave the church, whether it's to disconnect permanently or for an extended amount of time. There's a saying that goes, it takes a village to raise a child. And so as a church family, what can we do to raise our youth? How can we lead our young people to be on fire for God? And youth, where is the path to your spiritual life going? Earlier this past summer, I had the opportunity to work at Kumon, a tutoring institute. While training me to work with children, there's this teacher, the main teacher, taught me this. Here at Kumon, we don't necessarily teach the children, but we guide them to learn themselves. If we constantly told them the lessons, they wouldn't comprehend, they wouldn't learn anything. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. As parents, mentors, or maybe just an adult passing down knowledge, refrain from just forcing information into the minds of the youth. They may be listening to what you are saying, but are they comprehending it? Challenge them to think deeply into it. Challenge them to think it through and explain it back in their own words. Children are natural-born learners. They comprehend things. They are smarter than you think. They absorb everything around them. So be careful about what you teach them. Be careful about what you say and how you say it. We need to make sure that we encourage curiosity, because curiosity is the spark and engine to learning. If our children don't have the curiosity to learn the things that are beneficial and important in life and in their own Christian experience, not only do we fail them, we fail ourselves in this journey to win souls to Christ. Building off of that, God is not something that we can place in a box. Though he is simple to describe, the complexity of who he is marbles our very being. God is love. He is simple to describe, but complex to think about. From personal experience, it's really easy to think of God in just one way. So we have to be careful with how we present God. Because if we don't present God in the right manner, our young people will think of God in a broken, marred, completely distorted way. God is more than just one thing. All we say and do must be a true reflection of who God is. God's character is one of love, beauty, power, and mercy. We need to be especially careful with the little ones. One story may scar or scare them away from God completely. When I was younger, I loved bedtime because that meant story time. One night, my parents were both working, so I asked my grandpa, Pastor Gideon Durante, to tell me a story. He decided to tell me about the story of the persecution of Christians. To be specific, he told me the story of a pregnant lady and a group of Christians being executed in an arena. Isn't that a great bedtime story for an 8-year-old? I'm not going to lie. That scarred me and scared me. It caused me to have an overwhelming fear of the end times. I was scared of God, and not in the way that we are called to be. I looked to God and I said to myself, is that the God that I'm supposed to serve? One that's going to let all this bad thing happen? Am I going to die for a cause that maybe I don't even believe in? My view of God was shallow. When we were in Sabbath school, I could just repeat an answer from the top of my head because that's what I was told. I didn't comprehend. I didn't know anything. About a month ago, I sent a survey to a couple acquaintances. Do you believe you have a close and sincere relationship with God? If so, did your parents lead you to be that way? Were you influenced by a particular adult? Most of the answers that I acquired were quite saddening, but they proved my point exactly. No, I don't believe in God. My dad showed me the holes in religion, and I lost interest in the whole thing. I don't have a close relationship with God. I honestly don't believe if I have, I don't know if I believe in one at all. I'm still figuring it out. My mom believed in him, but we started living a life that made us happy, and now she's a practicing pagan. I've honestly never been happier since I stopped going to church. What is upsetting is that Satan's temptations and deceptions not only affected one person, but the next generation as well. We underestimate the influence that parents, not only parents, adults, the adults in our life, we underestimate how much influence they have on the young people. We know of the fact, yet somehow we don't think about it. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The way you, as adults, act will most likely reflect upon your children, upon the youth of your church, upon the youth that you encounter every day in your day-to-day life. Your beliefs, your spiritual life, will one way or another make an impact in their life. Embody how you want your children to be. Show how they should be. Show how they can grow and embody God's character. Most likely, your child will behave the way you have led them. The manner in which a child is like is a result of what their environment is like. Going back to that survey, everyone's answer surprised me one way or another. So take note of this advice. Never judge someone's spiritual life on appearances. Those who may seem spiritual may just be putting on a facade, a mask, something they can say over and over and over again without anyone guessing a thing. The youth are always in danger of the temptations of Satan. Try as you might, no matter what you say or what you teach them, it's up to them. The choice is always our own. Whether parents are spiritually supportive or distant, it's still the child's choice. Even though the choice is the child's, we still need to be supportive and to showcase the true nature of God, who God is. Take, for example, online shopping. When we look at a product, we look at the reviews, right? And if this product is expensive, we look at the reviews and the descriptions, everything about it. We look at the material, we look at how they look on someone else. We do this because we want to get the best possible picture of what we will get, what we will receive, how reliable it is, whether or not it will be worth our time. It's the same way when we present God to the youth. As young people, we're searching for the true character of God. We observe everything, from the mannerisms, from the way you act, from your prayer life, your devotional life. We observe everything, whether you know it or not, whether you, the youth know it or not. We observe everything. We take it in. We do this so that we can learn how God is, who God is, what he does for those who believe in him. So when we aren't properly shown the true character of God, it will forever impact our perception of who God truly is. Now, youth, you may be thinking, what is Sharice even saying? Why is she just looking at the adults? What is her point? Where is she going? Now, don't get me wrong. This is just my own God-inspired thoughts based on some simple observations. The things I've learned through studying, through the years, and through my own experiences. And so I have some advice for you. It's never too late. It really isn't ever too late to come back to God. The first step to the right path is to admit and humble yourself to Him. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. It doesn't take much to build a relationship with God. There's only one thing you need to do. Let him in. You may be thinking it's an impossible task, that you must be the holiest of holy to uphold a good relationship with God. That image you have in your mind right now is impossible. Our will alone is enough to come to God, but it isn't enough to uphold that relationship with Him. It is an impossible feat to do on our own. That is why we are always told to pray. By the Holy Spirit, we are able to upkeep our relationship with Him. It is only through Him. By God, we develop the desire to worship Him daily. So don't feel unworthy because you have a mediocre or maybe even zero spiritual life. Even if someone is spiritual, it will never be enough. Romans 5:6-11. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, we are also to rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Because Christ died for us, we are now able to retain and upkeep that relationship with God. But it is only through the understanding of Calvary that we see God's love. An answer I received from that survey, again, was, I do not believe I have a close and sincere relationship with God because I know that I have the possibility of having a closer and more intimate relationship with Him. Whether it's a huge gap or a small inching, whether we are young or not as young, whether we are an experienced scholar or a toddler reading a Bible story, we will always need Him to clarify the Bible. We have before us a warfare, a lifelong conflict with Satan and seductive temptations. The enemy will use every argument every deception to entangle the soul. And in order to win the crown of life, we must put forth earnest, persevering effort. We must not lay off the armor or leave the battlefield until we have gained the victory and can triumph in our Redeemer, as long as we continue to keep our eyes fixed upon the author and finisher of our faith, we shall be safe. But our affections must be placed upon things above, not on things of the earth. By faith, we must rise higher and still higher in the attainment of the graces of Christ. By daily contemplating his matchless charms, we must grow more and more into his glorious image. While we thus live in communion with heaven, Satan will lay his nets for us in vain. This doesn't just apply to the youth. This applies to you adults as well. It applies to everyone. Youth, just as the adults are called to guide us in our spiritual life, it is our duty as well to take care of those younger than us. That is why we must share and show God's character at all times, no matter the age, no matter the circumstance, no matter where you are. You may be with a group of friends at a potluck. Over in the corner, you see your little cousins just playing around. You mess around with your friends your own age, but little do you know, those little ones are observing you as well. They are listening to you. They are observing you. They see what you do. But is what you are doing showing God's character? These smaller children will be influenced by the words and spirit of the older students. God has placed us in this world to help one another. He wants the older students, the youth, to help the younger students. Christ said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 19:14. He desires these little children to love him. He desires those who are older to speak to them words that will be a blessing and a help. Students, improve the opportunity given you to speak words that will point those around you to the Savior. Do not allow your minds to dwell upon trivial things. Do not speak words you would not be willing to utter in the presence of Jesus and the angels. Could the curtain be rolled back, you would see heavenly angels watching you. They must watch. It is their work to be the guardians of the youth. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels minister to the youth in our world. Now, I'm not claiming to be perfect. I'm not claiming I follow exactly what I said. I'm not claiming that I read my Bible every day, that I have a devotional life on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Sabbath, and Sunday. I'm not claiming that me and God are this. I'm not completely sinless. I'm human too. We're all human. I make mistakes. And I am still learning. We are all still learning. That is why we need constant need of guidance and support from those around us. For broad is the way that leads us unto destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Brothers and sisters, let us help one another. It takes a village to raise a child. Let us rise up together and develop God's true character within each and every one of us, and rightly display the love of God. We are at the closing of this world's history. Never before do the youth need to see the reality of who our mighty, powerful, and loving God is.